Good evening, church family, and welcome back for the Sunday night service for Mother's Day. Just a reminder, the announcement that I gave this morning, don't forget that next Sunday we are getting back to somewhat of a normal schedule, or at least the starts of a normal schedule. And be sure to reread that email, be sure to read the letter that went out. It gives you the details of what you need to know, and again, we ask that everybody would follow the guidelines, please. We don't want any issues. We don't want any problems amongst our own church family or anywhere else for that matter. So please help us out with that. We would greatly appreciate it. Take your Bibles tonight. Let's open up to Proverbs chapter 31, and we are going to continue where we left off this morning. Proverbs chapter 31, and as you're turning to Proverbs 31, the story is told about little Billy. And his mom was rubbing moisturizer cream on her face. And little Billy's watching her do this, and he says, "Mommy, what are you doing?" And she says, "Well, I'm putting cold cream, I'm putting moisturizer on my face." And he says, "Well, why do you do that?" And she says, "Well, I want to make my skin more beautiful." And she started wiping the cold cream off of her face then with a Kleenex. And little Billy says, "Wow, Mom, you're giving up already?" Out of the mouths of babes, right? Another story is told about a woman. She was trying to get ketchup to come out of her, out of the jar, out of the bottle. And during her struggle, the phone rang. So she asked her little girl to go answer the phone while mom was, hitting that ketchup bottle like you do. And she says, "Mommy, it's the pastor." And the mom says, "I can't come to the phone right now." She says, "Can you take a message from him?" And so the little girl says, "Pastor, Mommy can't come to the phone right now. She's hitting the bottle." I read that and I just started laughing because I can picture my kid doing that. You know, my youngest, she would have done that. You got to love kids, right? They will embarrass you at the worst possible time as if there is a good time to be embarrassed, right? So tonight we want to continue looking at moms and celebrating moms. But as we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, once again that we can talk with our moms and encourage them and show them how valuable they are from your word and in our hearts and our lives, and Lord, we do thank you for them. We pray that as we open up your word, that if there is one that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that they would very clearly hear the gospel tonight at the end and throughout, that they would hear what it is to live a Christian life as exemplified in the lives of Christian moms. And we'll thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're in Proverbs chapter 31 right now, and I want us to look here in just a moment at verse 10. Let me recap just a little bit. As I said this morning, there is a poem from 1915 written by Howard Johnson, not the guy that did the Hojo restaurants and the Hojo hotels and things like that, but Howard Johnson was a poet, and he wrote that infamous Mother's Day poem where he gave the letters for mother and then filled it in with what those letters stood for. We are tweaking that. We're using the same idea, but we're tweaking it. The first thing that we looked at this morning was we looked at the M, and M is for the miracle of birth. Not talking about the baby, not talking about the child developing in the womb, but rather talking about the miracle that God created the woman to be able to give birth, the miracle of the woman's body and what the woman's body is able to endure. And when I say endure, I mean endure, because her body is put through some horrific things, but yet she lives to tell about it, doesn't she? Then we looked at the letter O. The letter O is for the other mother. The other mother, just like in the Bible, in Romans chapter 16, the Bible, Paul says he greeted Rufus's mother and he referred to her as his mother. She was like a mom to him. And we have people like that in our lives. I remember growing up that in school, when we would go on the band trips, we had different moms that would chaperone those trips. And even though those moms were not our moms, there were several of them that we called mom. They were there just like a mother, doing the things that mothers did. Some of them maybe didn't even have kids and certainly didn't have any kids in band. And yet this was something they wanted to do. They just wanted to go along. Then we saw that T was for two things, teaching and for tears. The teaching that mothers bring into the lives of their kids, the things that they teach them about God's word, about life, maybe more so intangible things, the things of feelings and emotions and all of that. but also the tears. And we talked about at the end this morning how mothers are known for crying. And that's not a bad thing. They are known for that tender, sensitive heart, and how many moms have wept in prayer over their children. This evening, we are ready for the letter H. And the letter H highlights something that we all know about moms. And H is for the hard work that she does. H is for the hard work that she does. Again, in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." I know that it's a lengthy passage of Scripture, but as you read through that, you read how the old saying that is true is exemplified in this passage of Scripture. A woman's work is never done. And if that is true of a woman, how much more true is that of a mother? A mother's work is never done. I read an article, and I have to read this to you because it is rather lengthy and the wording is precise, and I want to get it right. But if you will, listen to this, because this really highlights this point. A few months ago, when I was picking up the children at school, another mother I knew well rushed up to me. Julie was fuming with indignation. "Do you know what you and I are?" she demanded. Before I could answer, I didn't really have an answer handy. She blurted out the reason for her question. It seemed that she had just returned from renewing her driver's license at the county clerk's office. Asked by the woman recorder to state her occupation, Julie hesitated, uncertain how to classify herself. "What I mean is," explained the recorder, "do you have a job or are you a, well, you know, just a..." Julie snapped and she said, "Of course I have a job. I'm a mother." "We don't list mother as an occupation. Housewife covers it," said the recorder emphatically. I forgot all about her story until one day I found myself in the same situation, this time at our own town hall. The clerk was obviously a career woman, poised, efficient, and possessed of a high-sounding title like official interrogator, town registrar. "And what is your occupation?" she probed. I found myself searching for the right words, and what made me say this, I don't know, but the words simply popped out. "I am a research associate in the field of child development and human relations." The clerk paused, ballpoint pen in hand, froze in midair, and looked up as though she had not heard right. And so I repeated the title slowly, "Research associate in the field of child development and human relations," emphasizing the most significant words. Then I stared with wonder as my pompous pronouncement was written in bold black ink on the official questionnaire. "Might I ask," said the clerk with new interest, "just what do you do in your field?" Coolly, without a trace of fluster in my voice, I heard myself reply, "I have a continuing program of research." What mother doesn't, right? "In the laboratory and in the field." Normally, I would have said indoors and outdoors. "I am working for my masters," the whole family. "And I already have 4 credits. All 4 are daughters. Of course, the job is one of the most demanding in the humanities. Any mother care to disagree, she said, or she thought. And I often work 14 hours a day. 24 is more like it. But the job is more challenging than most run-of-the-mill careers, and the rewards are in satisfaction rather than just money. There was an increasing note of respect in the clerk's voice as she completed the form, stood up, and personally ushered me to the door. As I drove into our driveway, buoyed by my glamorous new career, I was greeted by my lab assistants, ages 13, 7, and 3, and upstairs I could hear our new experimental model, 6 months old, in the child development program testing out a new vocal pattern. I felt triumphant. I had scored a beat on bureaucracy, and I had gone down on the official records as someone more distinguished and indispensable to mankind than just another mother. So for all the moms out there who have packed countless lunches, you have washed thousands and thousands of loads of clothes, you have helped with school projects, you have served on school committees, you have done fundraisers with your kids, we want to say thank you for all the hard work that you've done as a mom. Moms are definitely hard workers, and the work that you do, don't ever let anybody tear you down or belittle you, making you feel less of an individual for you to say, I am a mom. That is a glamorous, wonderful title that you hold. So H is for the hard work. Let's talk about the letter E. The letter E. Go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. As you're turning to Exodus chapter 1, E is for the endurance of motherhood. E is for the endurance of motherhood. Mothers, you endure a lot of things. You endure a lot of emotional things. You endure a lot of difficult things. One of the mothers in Scripture that shows great endurance is a mother by the name of Jochebed. And we see here in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, the name of the other was Puah, and he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive." Jump to chapter 2 and verse 1. "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And to the daughter of Pharaoh, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, Because I drew him out of the water." E is for the endurance of motherhood. To endure such terror as an Israelite woman is something that would be just about awful to experience. You know, these Jewish women had to be absolutely terrified. Can you imagine how terrified you must feel the moment that you as a woman realized you were pregnant? And then as your belly grew, you knew that the Egyptians were watching. They knew each and every single one of the pregnant Egyptian women. As the day of delivery drew near, you know that the Egyptians, they're counting down on the calendar as well. And as the day of delivery is now, The Egyptians have heard the mother's cry of pain as she delivers. And then can you imagine the terror that that mom must have felt as she gives birth to a baby boy, knowing what the order is from Egypt, that those baby boys are to be killed? You know, fear has to grip them and send them into a state of panic. I would think so. If I was a mom, if I was living in this time period, I can't imagine how that fear must grip them. But they endured that fear. But then we have this mother, and this was one smart mom. She knew exactly what to do. She did something that other mothers would have had a difficult time doing. She put her baby in a basket, made it so that it was waterproof and seaworthy, and she set that in the flags and the reeds there, and then she just sat back and waited, hoping, praying that the right person is going to find her baby. Now, why would I say, moms, that this would be very difficult for you to do? Why would I say that? Well, I want us to think about the things that mothers endure today and how difficult it is for them to endure those things. You let your little one outside to play by themselves, and that little one got dirty, and you happened to be looking out the window. Now, it was hard enough to let that little one go outside by themselves in the yard for the first time all alone, and you're watching from the window, and you saw them playing in the dirt and everything else, and next thing you know, they stuck their hands in their mouth. You couldn't run out there fast enough to clean them up, to get their hands clean, and the hand sanitizer came out. Oh, it was crazy. I've teased my wife a little bit. I says, you know what? We've got so much hand sanitizer on our hands now. All that alcohol is absorbing into our skin. If we get pulled over, I'm sure we're going to blow positive for alcohol, you know? I think moms would have a difficult time with this. How about the first time that your little one, you took them to a babysitter? How hard was that on you? How hard was it when you left them at kindergarten? Maybe for you it was how hard was it when you put them on that school bus for the very first time? You see, moms, you endured some very difficult, hard things because moms do that. That separation is difficult. But here is a woman that has put her newborn baby in a basket in the water, just hoping and praying the right person will find that baby. How hard must it have been to endure that? You know, if you and I could have, we might have been willing to have chaperoned our child their entire life, wouldn't we? But here's a mother that took her hands off of the basket, off of his life, and entrusted that life to the Lord. You know, that is, I think, for moms, perhaps one of the hardest things that you will ever endure is taking your hands off of your child and releasing them into the hands of the Lord. Now, one of the neat things that happens in this story, how many moms, you know, here's of all the people that could have found this child, was the daughter of the Pharaoh, who instantly looks on that child and has favor to the child and has a love in her heart for that child. And now here's little Miriam, and she's going, I got somebody that can take care of this baby for you. And so she runs and gets her mother. And here is a mom who is going to get paid to raise her own child, and not one single child-rearing bill is going to land on her. She's going to get paid to raise her own kid. Moms, that's pretty neat how God answers that prayer, isn't it? Such endurance in motherhood really pays off. So moms, thank you for your endurance. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at the letter R. The letter R is for release. Release from condemnation. I want to look at this from a spiritual level first, and then we're going to take this to something very applicable and practical for mom. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do we recognize that prior to salvation, every single one of us were under God's condemnation? The Bible tells us that every single one of us came into this world a sinner. We were born in sin. We were conceived in sin. Let's look at a couple other passages. Back up to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12, notice what the scripture says here. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Let's go to Psalm chapter 51 and look at verse 5. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 5. In Psalm 51 and verse 5, notice what the scripture says here. David says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Every single one of us is conceived in sin. The moment that that sperm hits that egg and that egg is fertilized, life begins. And the moment that life begins, the sin nature is immediately present. It swam right into that egg because it came from the guy. The guy is the one through which the sin nature comes. And the moment that life begins, life does not begin when that child exits the womb. Life does not begin at the moment of the third trimester or the moment of the second trimester. Life does not begin the moment that a heartbeat can be heard. Life begins at conception. And at conception, a sin nature is present. So that when we come into this world, we come into this world a condemned sinner. But when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, look at what John's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 24 says takes place. John chapter 5 verse 24. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus Christ said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." We know in the book of Romans that Romans tells us that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When we hear the word and believe on him, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe and we receive everlasting life, we pass from condemnation. We are no longer under the condemnation of God. This evening, as you listen to this message, can you say for certain that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you have passed from condemnation unto everlasting life, unto new life in Christ? Can you say for sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, what is the application that needs to be made to mom? One of the difficulties that a lot of moms face, not just on Mother's Day, but every day of their lives, is that they are under some sort of self-imposed or an imposition from other people, a condemnation on how they were mothers. Maybe you're listening and Mother's Day is difficult for you because you have condemned yourself as a mom. Others have condemned you as a mom. Listen to this. I thought this was really good. It says, "You are not condemned by messy homes." Christian, you are not condemned by your personal sins. You are not condemned by your lack of desire to have more children. You are not condemned by your inability to cook. You are not condemned by your desire to be alone, away from the kids for a time. You are not condemned by your body, which may not be what it once was. You are not condemned by your failures as a mother. You are not condemned by your rebellious children. You are not condemned by the frustration of having to scrape mac and cheese off of the kitchen floor. Again, you are not condemned by all the fears and the tears which flirt with insanity and take you to the precipice of despair. You are not condemned by not being able to throw the party of the century for your children. You are not condemned for not feeding your kids meals that could only be made after a trip to Whole Foods. You are not condemned by your need for a vacation. You are not condemned for not living up to the standards of your mother or your mother-in-law. You are not condemned by the stares of those who have no kids when your kids erupt into volcanic screams in public places. Mothers, though you may feel condemned, if you are in Christ, you are not condemned. Fight with this knowledge of what is real reality. You are not condemned because if you are in Christ Jesus, your identity, your righteousness is in Jesus Christ alone. Therefore, enjoy the love and the affection and the acceptance of being a daughter perfectly loved with an unwavering love that flows from your Father in heaven. Moms, that gives you a lot to think about, doesn't it? Dads, you can apply that to yourself as well. Young person, you can apply that to yourself. Oh, maybe not every single piece of that, but there are different things. What condemns you is if you're not in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not know God as your Heavenly Father through Jesus. That's what condemns you, but not these other things. So, the R, release yourself from condemnation. Now, this is not Mother Day. This is Mother's Day. It is for all mothers. So the last letter that we have is the letter S. So if you will, turn with me to Proverbs 31 one more time. I intentionally left off the last verse. Proverbs 31, and look at verse 31. And in fact, let's add verse 28, even though we read it. Proverbs 31, starting with verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The letter S is for the standing ovation mothers deserve. The standing ovation that mothers deserve. To you, Mom, I am giving you a standing ovation. How's that? There's only one person in here. But all of us are giving you that standing ovation. You deserve that standing ovation. You are to be commended for the job that you have done as a mom. I know that all moms that we had, all moms were not saved. All moms were not good moms. And so as we have gone through this message today and we have seen what these letters are representing for this message, maybe some of you, Mother's Day is a difficult time and you say, that none of that applied to my mother. None of that applied to my mother. Well, first of all, the M did, because your mom had a miraculous body that was able to give birth to you. And more than likely the O applied to you because there were other mothers in your life that you need to recognize. Those other mothers, the T, taught you. Those other mothers, T, had tears for you. The H, maybe it wasn't as much your mom, but probably was. There was still hard work. The E, the endurance, you say, yeah, I wish my mom would have endured. Okay, maybe she didn't, but somebody else did for you. So R, release the condemnation. You have no right to condemn your mom. That's not your job. I don't care how bad that she was. It's not your right. Condemnation is not your right or mine. It's God's right. So let go of that. The S, the standing ovation. Yeah, you can give some mother that standing ovation. And I wonder if you'd do that today. Though we are at the close of this special day, make it a prayer of thanksgiving for mom. But these things that we have seen, they apply to moms, to dads, to men, to women, to young people. We just have to take them and kind of move them around, massage them a little bit so maybe they fit our lives that aren't mothers. But will we do that? As Christians, we need to apply these points, allowing the Lord to change our lives, to line up to His Word for His honor and glory. Because our world needs to see Christian women, Christian men, Christian moms, Christian dads, Christian young people that demonstrate what the Bible teaches we ought to be. Would we commit ourselves to the Lord for that? Lost person, condemnation is nothing to live with. And you can be free of condemnation today. You say, well, how's that possible? Again, I go back to that verse in John's Gospel where Jesus said that anybody that will believe on Him, they will be released from that condemnation. That is the only way, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that you can be released from that condemnation. You say, well, what if I choose not to? Well, that is your choice. But you will remain under God's condemnation so long as you reject Him as Savior. And you can die and you can leave this world as a condemned individual. But what does that mean in the afterlife? That means eternity in hell. Eternity in hell. And you say, well, I don't believe God would send me to hell. You gave Him no choice. You gave Him no choice. You made the decision yourself of where you wanted to spend eternity. Jesus wanted to save your soul. Jesus wanted to lift the weight of condemnation from you. He's already paid the price, the penalty for your sin. He wanted you to accept that. But for whatever reason, you decided not to. Lost soul, right now, would you be willing to repent and believe the gospel? Would you be willing to call on the name of Jesus, who loves you, who died on a cross for your sins, was buried in a tomb and He arose from the grave? Would you be willing to call on Him and say, Lord, that's what I believe and I'm asking You to save my soul? If that's you right now, would you pray something like this with me? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I don't deserve heaven. I deserve eternal hell. I know that I'm under Your condemnation. But I believe Jesus Christ loves me and that He died for me in my place on Calvary's cross, and He shed His blood in payment of my sins, and that He was buried in the tomb and that He arose again from the grave. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me. Lord, tonight, right now, I repent and I believe the gospel. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you prayed something like that tonight? Have you meant that from your heart? If so, I'm asking you this evening, would you contact our church? You're listening to this on the website. Right now, there is a place where you can contact us. Would you fill out that contact form and just let us know that you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let us know how we can help you, because that's what we want to do. Christians, tonight, let's close out in prayer. Looking forward to this week. The Wednesday night service will be online. The Sunday night services will be online. Sunday morning, looking forward to seeing you. I hope that you'll be here. Let's close in prayer together. Father, thank You for this Lord's Day. Thank You for Mother's Day. Thank You for the moms especially who are listening to the message today. Lord, we pray for a good night of rest. We pray for a week that would be pleasing and honoring to You in all things. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.